If you can believe it, Advent is right around the corner. How many of you are done with Christmas shopping yet? Anybody? Anybody started? Wow, you're awesome. Advent is right around the corner, and before we head there, I really wanted to spend a couple months just in an overview of the life of Jesus Christ. This series wasn't meant to dive deep into the entirety of Mark's gospel, but just to give us a taste and so that you would dive deeper into the rest of the text. And so we've been encouraging you to read two chapters out of Mark, whether you do that individually or as a couple or as a family, just so that you can dive a little deeper yourself into God's word. This week we are in Mark chapter 11 and 12. I'm only going to read to verse 25, and then that's where we're going to land and talk about what Jesus teaches regarding forgiveness. In Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, what we see here is Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he rides in not as a conqueror on a war horse, but he comes in riding as a servant on a donkey. And they spent the night in Bethany that night, and then the next day they went back to Jerusalem, and on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus enters into the temple where he sees something he doesn't want to see. He begins driving out those people who are buying and selling there, and he overturns the tables. Maybe you remember this story. Money changers, the benches are flying, doves are flying, Jesus would not allow anyone to carry merchandise into the temple courts. And he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" This was supposed to be a place where you could come and to worship and to pray, and especially this area, which was the area of the Gentiles, the nations. This was to be a place where the nations could come and to worship God, but they had made it something different. And after Jesus taught them about having faith in God, he taught them about this link between our relationship with others and our relationship with God. There is this vital link between our relationship with others and our relationship with him. So look at verses 24 and 25 in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus says this. And this is right after he had taught a little bit on prayer, because the disciples were amazed that when Jesus was going to get something off of a fig tree and it didn't produce any fruit and he cursed it, they remembered that he had done that, and they were so amazed. And so he taught them about authority in prayer. And so that was his topic, praying. And he says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." There's a vital link between our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. Back in when Jesus was teaching in his Sermon on the Mount, he brought up that when you come and you lay your gift at the altar, they didn't have plates that they would pass around. They would actually come to the altar and lay their offering there at the altar. And he says, if you remember that someone has something against you, go be reconciled to them first and then come bring your offering. Because it's not going to do you any good to bring an offering when you've got something going on between you and another brother or you and another sister. There is a vital link between our relationship with him and our relationship with one another. And so where we're going to focus this morning is this statement that he makes. He says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. This mirrors what Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, he was teaching them to pray. And he taught them, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And he continues on in teaching them how to pray. And he gets to this point where he says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, I think we said this in the congregational church that we went to near my grandparents' house. When we were going to a Methodist church out in Plymouth, we used to say it this way, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In our church, when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." And let me ask you this morning, have you? Are you? Are you forgiving one another the sins that people have committed against you? Think about it this way. Who do you feel owes you right now? You know, if you grew up praying, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us, who do you feel owes you right now? Is there someone who owes you some money? Is there someone who owes you an apology? Is there someone who owes you an explanation? Is there someone who owes you a favor? Maybe you did something for someone and you're expecting them to do something for you. We want our debts forgiven. But have you wiped out the debts of others? Or think about it this way. Who's trespassed in your life? Who's crossed the line in your life? Who's crossed you? We want to be forgiven of the ways in which we have crossed the line with God, but are you forgiving others of how they have crossed the line in your life? And so after Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and especially focusing on forgiving one another their sins, he continued, and this is what mirrors our text in Mark this morning. He says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you of your sins. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And we all struggle with this. I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles with unforgiveness. The chapter on love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talks about love being patient, kind, not envious, not boastful or proud, doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How are you doing with that? I know I struggle with that. I can keep a list just as well as you can. We can all keep lists. We can all keep records. Anybody remember these little plastic things that had two little wheels in them, and they had music recorded on them? It's called a cassette tape. Anybody remember a cassette tape? I don't know if my kids have ever seen cassette tapes, right? They've barely even seen records, although those are coming back. But we used to take, and this is how I first started hearing Christian rock, is that I would listen to WMUZ from 11 to 12 at night on Saturday nights, and I would record bands like Striper and Daniel Band and Petra and Jerusalem. But what I did was I took old cassette tapes that I had, and you could actually record over them. I think that's what we need to do in our own lives. I think we've been keeping a record of one another's sins so much. What we need to do is allow God to re-record over that. It's possible that you will continue to remember things, but hopefully, you know, week after week and month after month and year after year, those memories become less and less and less through the strength of God's very presence. Love keeps no record of wrongs. If you don't forgive how someone has crossed the line in your life, God's not going to forgive the way in which you've crossed the line with him. If you don't clear the ways that someone is indebted to you, then God will not clear the ways that you're indebted to him. God forgiving me is linked to me forgiving you. You might think that that seems kind of harsh, but when you think about what Jesus is teaching about forgiveness, is forgiveness a suggestion or a command? It's a command. It would be a good suggestion, but Jesus isn't making a suggestion. This is a command. And so when we follow a command of God's, what is that called? Obedience. And if we don't follow a command, what's that called? Disobedience. And so if we are living in disobedience, and it could be a variety of things, but here he's bringing up unforgiveness, that if we are living in outright rebellion to God, even in this area, that's why there's this link that God is not going to forgive us if we're continuing in sin, if we're continuing in rebellion. So what I hold against you actually has its hold on me. Again, there's this link between my relationship with God and my relationship with you. There's this relationship that you have with me, and it's linked to your relationship with God. There's a link between your relationship with your husband and your relationship with God. There's a link between you and your relationship with your wife and your relationship with God, or you and your relationship with your kids and your relationship with God, or you and your relationship with your parent. You know, it goes on and on. There is this vital link that we have. You cannot actually love God and be in relationship with God if you've got something going on between the two of you. If you're praying and you go, oh, you realize that you're holding something against someone, Jesus says, forgive them. Jesus didn't say, if you hold anything against anyone, keep bringing it up. Ouch. Or Jesus didn't say, if you hold anything against anyone, save it for when you need some ammunition. The way Jesus teaches us about forgiveness is much like the Golden Rule, and I know you know the Golden Rule. You don't even have to be a Christian to know what the Golden Rule is, but Jesus taught, Sermon on the Mount, once again, chapter 7, verse 12, he says, so in everything, everybody say everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. I mean, if you want a great summary of what Moses taught in the law and what the prophets were teaching, this is a great summary. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do you like it when someone holds something against you? I know I don't. I know I love to be forgiven. I hate having something over us, something between us. I love being forgiven. So if you don't want to be treated that way, don't treat others like that. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Love others the way that you want to be loved. Care for others the way that you want to be cared for. Forgive others the way you want to be forgiven. And I think we all know we should forgive. I think that's something we know we should do. But how do we get the strength to forgive? Well, this morning I want to suggest to you three ways of moving from unforgiveness to forgiveness. One, experience God's forgiveness. Two, express your need for God's help. And then three, explain why you need forgiveness or why you need to forgive. Paul was teaching in to the Colossians, and this was a chapter, Colossians chapter 3, that we built a series on years ago. I think this was probably 3 years into my time here. Nothing bad was going on. I just felt like we needed to do a series on what it meant to fight fair, because there will be times when we don't get along. It's not if we fight, it's when we fight, and when we fight, how are we going to treat one another? And that we were going to have, in a sense, a behavioral covenant with one another, that there was a certain way that we were going to treat one another. And so Paul, he teaches out of Colossians chapter 3, and he says in verse 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Repeat that after me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So Jesus in Luke chapter 7, he's telling a story. And it's a story on forgiveness. One of the Pharisees had invited him over to have dinner with him. And as he went to the Pharisee's house, he's reclining at the table, and they're having this meal together. Well, there's a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. There aren't too many details about what that meant, but she lived a sinful life. And when she learned that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house, she came there with this alabaster jar full of perfume. And as she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. I would imagine that there have been many times when we have been brought to tears that much. It just seems to be pouring out of us because of the pain that's in our lives. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, now, when you say something to yourself, do you typically say it out loud? Sometimes I do. Sometimes people hear me talking to myself. Sometimes I even answer myself. Sometimes I ask myself a question, and I'll even answer my question. It's a little weird, but it happens. But most of the time when I am talking to myself, I'm usually talking to myself in here. There are a variety of things that we can do in talking to ourselves in here, right? We can play arguments over in our minds. We can do a variety of things in here. And so he's, I think, I don't know that this is actual verbal, he's thinking in his mind these thoughts. He says to himself, if this man, and I could just see him, he's all dressed nice and he's, all haughty. And if this man were truly a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And he's kind of alone in his thoughts and he's watching things happen. And Jesus answers him, Simon, I have something to tell you. I could just see him, just startled out of his thoughts. It's like, did I say that out loud? He said, let me tell you a story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender, and one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, which is what he should have done for any guest who comes into his house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. It's quite possible that there are people where they don't think of themselves as needing forgiveness, maybe as much as someone else. Lord, I know you've forgiven me, and I know I'm a sinner, but whew, I'm so glad I'm not like them, right? Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Forgiveness gave her peace. When you experience forgiveness in Jesus because you trust in Jesus, you have peace with God. And when you've been forgiven much, you forgive much. Expressing forgiveness is an expression of love. When you experience the love of God, you are more apt and you're more able then to love someone else. When you experience the forgiveness of God, you're more able to forgive someone else. Have you experienced His forgiveness lately? If you confess your sins, He forgives you your sins. What I want to do right now, just in the middle of this message, is give you a time just to, we're going to be silent before the Lord. And if there is any way in which you need to experience His forgiveness, confess that to Him. All you're doing is confession, is saying, all right, God, you're right. I'm wrong. What I did last night, that was wrong. What I did this week, that was wrong. What I want you to do as you go to this time, just a moment right now, is just remember what Jesus said when He was sharing Passover with His disciples, talking about His blood being the covenant, the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Or what the scriptures say about the prophets testifying about Jesus, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Paul writing to a church where he says that we have redemption. You have been purchased. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He has lavished on us. Will you take a moment right now just to experience the forgiveness of God? Amen. As you experience His forgiveness, pray for the power to forgive. Talk it over with God. So the first action you take in forgiving others is first to experience forgiveness yourself, and then take it to Him. Express your need for His help. I don't know if you've ever done this, but when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and specifically to pray about forgiveness, did you ever wonder why He had them pray about forgiveness? Think about it in your own life. Is forgiveness a natural expression or supernatural? I think it's supernatural. You know, because I can keep my lists. There are times where I don't want to forgive. There are times where I don't want to let it go when I know I should. Forgiveness is a supernatural expression. Because in the natural, I want to pay somebody back. You know, I joke, I've got this bat at home, and it's not something that I use to actually play baseball. I use it as a way to fend boys off my girls. And if I were to ever hear that someone hurt one of my girls in the flesh, I'd use the bat. In the spirit, I'd need to pray about it. What's your will, Lord? No, I know what the Lord's will is. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not natural. It's supernatural. And so if forgiveness is supernatural, then I need to pray for His strength in order to forgive other people. We pray because we need a change of heart. Peter once came to Jesus and he asked him, maybe you remember this question, but Peter said, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? And he was kind of proud of himself. You know, he was thinking, 7 times? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And then Jesus gives him a math equation. You know, do the math, Peter. It's going to be much, much more than 7 times. It's going to be 7 times 7. 7 times 70. Thank you. I was never good at math. And then he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Wow. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. But he refused, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. So the master then calls the servant in and he says, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father, Jesus said, will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. The servant was tortured for his lack of forgiveness. And that's what unforgiveness can do to us as well. It can torture us from the inside out. It may or may not torture those around us, especially those that we need to forgive, but it definitely hurts us. And Jesus said the Father will treat you the same as the servant unless you forgive from the heart. But we can't forgive from the heart until we have had a change of heart. I don't always feel like forgiving. Maybe we don't always feel like forgiving, but what we need then is a change of heart, and that's why we pray. We pray for that change of heart. God is in the business of changing hearts and removing hard hearts and putting in soft hearts. Take a moment right now and just pause. I know we don't do this a whole lot, but I want you to pause and think about the person that you need to forgive and pray for the strength to forgive them. So if you're holding anything against anyone, Jesus says, forgive them. Pray for the power to let it go. Pray for the strength to forgive. So first step, experience his forgiveness. Second step, express your need for God's help to forgive. And third, explain why you need to forgive. Jesus was teaching on the causes for sin in Luke chapter 17, and he told them to watch themselves. And then he said, you know, if your brother or sister sins against you, ignore it. No, he actually says something different. He says, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And then the apostles had this incredible response. They said, increase our faith. It takes faith to forgive. It takes strength to explain why there needs to be forgiveness between us. For some of us, confrontation comes easy, and maybe for some of us, it comes too easy. But I personally have found it very difficult to confront someone who's done something to me. Personal confrontation does not come very natural for me. But for us to be able to move on and to forgive and for there to be oneness in our relationship together, then there needs to be some expression of this and some maybe even some confession. But we need to talk about it. And what's interesting is that it's unhealthy to hold on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. According to Dr. Stephen Standiford, chief of surgery at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, this is interesting. Forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment, he explained. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe. According to some research done by Dr. Michael Berry, who has a book called The Forgiveness Project, he said, harboring these negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. And chronic anxiety produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which are your body's foot soldiers in the fight against cancer. He said the first step to learning to forgive is to realize how much you've been forgiven by God. He said, when a person forgives from the heart, we find that they are able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often, our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness. He said, most people don't realize what a burden anger and hatred were until they let them go. Are you ready this morning to let them go? The grudge that you've been holding is holding on to you. And maybe it's been holding you for far, far too long. Maybe it's a sin that you've committed that you've not allowed yourself to experience forgiveness. You're not forgiving yourself. You know that God has forgiven you. Maybe you even know that someone else has forgiven you, the wrong that you've done, but you've not forgiven yourself. Love keeps no record of wrongs, and love should not keep record of wrongs against yourself either. You've got this record that goes over and over and over in your mind of the things that you've done. Forgive yourself, and then forgive those who have hurt you. If you, as Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Experience God's forgiveness. Express to God your need for his strength, because in order to forgive from the heart, we need to have a change of heart. And then explain why you need to forgive. Go to that person today. Don't let any more time lapse. Make time with them this week. Let's pray, and we're going to pray a very familiar prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we're going to receive our morning's offering. But if there is any way in which you want prayer, any way in which you want us to get in contact with you, please fill out your response card and put that in the offering plate. And as we receive this morning's offering, I want you to think about how much you have been forgiven and who you need to forgive. And as you do that, I want you to hear the story of a song that maybe many of you are very familiar with.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, "I now have a mission that I never would have chosen." What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible.